Hi everyone, I'm Dave Chapman and you're listening to The Science of Social Media, a weekly podcast from Buffer.
Welcome to episode number 194, everyone. I'm Haley Griffiths. Let's kick off the show.
If you listen to episodes 191 and 192, you might have heard Kevin Lee, our VP of Marketing, mention that engagement is sky high on social media platforms at the moment.
Kevin shared that engagement on LinkedIn is up 55%, Twitter's daily active users are up over 20%, Pinterest has seen a 60% increase in searches, and Facebook and Instagram are seeing 50% increases. Those stats are pretty mind-blowing.
They really are. As more people have been spending more time at home, screen time and time on social channels have also gone up. This has led to big jumps in engagement for many brands and big opportunities to build relationships with customers and target customers.
And while a rise in engagement is great for marketers, it can also lead to unexpected challenges, as Ashley shares in today's question.
Hey, I'm Ashley from High Profile Marketing. What are you seeing across the board for engagement with social accounts? All of my clients are way up because followers have more time to ask questions and engage. But it's not something clients were prepared for with response times and FAQ docs.
I love that question. Thanks so much for asking us this one, Ashley. To dig into this and uncover how to deal with more questions and comments and keep response times down, I spoke with Darcy Peters, a customer advocacy lead here at Buffer. In the intro, Hayley mentioned that we've seen a rise in engagement across the industry. Would you say that's true for us at Buffer? Have we seen a rise in the number of people reaching out to us on social?
I did find something that was a little counterintuitive when I looked at it, but there was more to the story, so I'll explain that as well. Our reach outs on social media, they've actually decreased since February, which seems a little odd. I think when you're thinking about what Ashley told us, we had 30% fewer social reach outs in March than we did in February. And then April was actually 27% lower than March. So there are some other stats to add to that puzzle. And those are our email stats because we work really strongly in email. So while the social stats went down month over month, our email volume actually did increase. We saw an increase of 33% from February to March, and then another 8% from March to April. And when I counted up all of those reach outs together, the total number of email plus social tickets together did show a spike in March. And April kind of gets back to what we saw in January and February. So we did see a bit of an uptick, and that kind of has us resonating with what Ashley's clients are seeing. So yeah, I think we are seeing just across the board a bit of an increase. Buffer here, we saw a little bit as well. But one side note that I wanted to mention, Dave, was that I think it's important to acknowledge that some companies have actually seen a decrease in volume over social just due to their customers not engaging with their products or their services during this time. So I definitely don't want to leave them out. And hopefully the content that we chat through today will be helpful to them, if not now, in the future.
That's great. And it does make sense. The patterns are going to be different for different businesses with different clientele and customers with different needs. As a team lead, how do you prepare for an increase in communication from customers on social?
One number one piece that I think we've put in place is planning ahead. In her question, Ashley mentioned FAQ articles. And I do think that's a great tool to start with. So FAQs, they're a great gift to your customers. It allows them to have that information at their disposal, easy to find. They can get that question answered immediately. If you have that as a base already, then you're feeling great, right? If you don't, what do we do during these times? Well, if you have the team numbers, it's possible you can dedicate a team member to write out some FAQs and get those up on your site. If you don't, maybe you can try to make it a collaborative effort. We do a bit of a collaborative effort here at Buffer, and that's where team members, when they notice that there's an FAQ article missing, they can go ahead and report that. They can write up a draft, and then someone can add that to the website. And I would do that on an ongoing basis. So instead of waiting for a complete array of FAQ articles, just add them one by one, because each of those has the chance to help a customer. Another important aspect is just having the right tools at your fingertips. It could be a social engagement tool that you use, or maybe you're using those native social platforms and that's where you're responding to folks. So knowing that ahead of time is going to be important. Inside that tool as well, even if you're using a native platform, would be an autoresponder. So that's a really great efficiency aid. What an autoresponder does is it lets your customers know that you heard them and that you're gonna be back to help. You can word that response however you would like, but it's really to let them know, hey, I'm gonna be back with you. You could add, this is how long it will take me to get back to you if you're confident in that response time. You can also ask them pertinent information that your team will need in order to investigate their inquiry. So for us, it would be, what's that email address on your Buffer account? For others, it might be, what's your order number or any other specific details on that request? That's going to help the back and forth just go a little bit quicker. And then the last thing I'd love to mention is to give your team members the authority to be transparent with your customers during these times. And of course, you can set up boundaries around that as well. But what we want to do is empower our team to make judgment calls in the moment. That will help them work faster and with a little bit less stress. So some aids that we like to put in place would be to draft up sample responses to difficult inquiries that might come through. You might also want to start a Google Doc or a Dropbox paper document where your team can ask questions and you can answer them asynchronously. So just having the opportunity to be transparent will reduce the team member's stress. And chances are that the customers, they're going to come to us with understanding if we explicitly share why our response times are slower and if we just apologize for that disruption. Those few extra details, they're going to pull your customers into the fold just a bit. It'll help them feel like an insider, and that really only does good things for customer loyalty in the end.
Great. I wanted to ask you next, when it comes to something unexpected like downtime and Buffer might be down and customers are kind of really in a sticky situation, how do you approach leading a team and ensuring customers feel heard and supported in that situation?
Yeah, that's a good one. And in the last question, I kind of ended it with a team aspect. So I'd like to start there, just continue with that. We are trusting our team members to speak one-on-one with our customers, and that's big. So how do we ensure that they're managing customer interactions day to day in a way that we would like them to? And I'd like to suggest that when people are treated well, they treat others well. So when people are happy at work, they feel grateful. Just follow me on this one. So I'm going to go down a little path. When they're happy, they feel grateful. When we feel grateful, our loyalty increases. And when we're loyal, we want to do right by our company. And doing right by our company leads to communicating to customers in a way that makes them feel prioritized and makes them feel heard. That's the way our company wants them to feel, right? So that's my number one. It's treating our team right will help us treat our customers right and get that message to our customers. So how can we now ensure that both the team and the customers feel supported when something unexpected occurs? One, if both our team and customers know that they're valued by us, they're going to trust that we are doing everything we can to improve the experience for them. And then also, as I mentioned, transparency. It's always painful to admit that our product or our service failed to meet the standard that we think is ideal. But regardless of what we tell people, the truth is that they had a poor experience, and that's the truth for them. So Dave, just to wrap this one up, I have an acronym for you that I thought you would like.
I can't wait.
coming from the military, we had an acronym really for everything. We had acronyms within acronyms. So I always think of these, but this acronym is PET, P-E-T, and it's used when dealing with some sort of unexpected or potentially painful situation. So the P is for plan. We want to plan for a fix. This might be on the technical side of your business, potentially. We want to know what that fix is, know how to rectify it, right? Empathy is the E. We want to share empathy with our team members so that they can then pay it forward to our customers. We want to show how that empathy comes across. And then transparency. We want to openly share the need to knows for our customers. We want to remember that transparency doesn't only come around when life is good. We also have to share painful pieces if those painful pieces will then affect customer experience. So that can mean that we need to tell them that we don't have a fix planned.
I absolutely recognize PET in the way we work. And it's really amazing to hear you sort of detail that out, particularly with the empathy and the trust side of things, because when it's an unexpected downtime, it's hard to plan for the unexpected. But I can say that because we've had a few of these experiences over the years, we have got something in place so that at the drop of a hat, we can roll out an action plan and work together in an efficient way. One thing I particularly am grateful for working at Buffer is being able to lean into the empathy side of things and to be honest and say, this is not the experience we wanted for you. And when a customer says that this feature is not working or I can't access your website, whatever the sort of the issue that's cropped up might be, they'll also tell us, like, this is taking my time. This is stopping me from like delivering work for my clients. And we can absolutely just say, this is absolutely horrible. And this is, we can respond and acknowledge that impact and not just dish out a cold, canned response. Really lean in and sort of understand the pain the customer's going through. And when you sort of make that acknowledgement, I think it does, as you so brilliantly put early on, it sort of brings people into the fold and they do understand that you're working to help them and you're working together with them to keep them updated and get them back on track as soon as possible. Thank you so much for going through that. I'd love to ask you if you have any tips or techniques that teams can use to improve social response times and provide a really good experience in those busy periods. When we have that high volume and we're trying to get back to as many customers as possible, how do we sort of balance that with delivering a good service?
Yes. We talk about this a lot internally, as you know. And I think I have a couple tips that I can share from those learnings. One would be, if you think about staggering your work schedules so that you have a little bit more of an around-the-clock support, that could be really helpful in making all of your customers feel valued. So in our team, we have some folks who enjoy starting early or they enjoy starting late in their day. Not only does this help customers in those different time zones, but it also allows those team members to work at the times that they feel happiest. It's kind of a win-win across the board. And another schedule-related idea here is to adjust team member day-to-day schedules. The chances are that we can adjust schedules just a little bit. It might look like decreasing the number of meetings we have or shortening the duration of meetings or maybe even setting aside non-urgent projects. Anything that we do to innovate the schedule is going to show our team that we have their best interest in mind. And I think that's important to set the tone for how we want them to work. One last, probably a little bit more technical tip would be possibly to have someone on your team triage requests. And triaging can look like several different things. So I'll just share a couple of them. One would be they can organize support topics into batches by topic. That will allow some team members to focus in on a topic for a while. You might just have them focusing, or they might feel comfortable focusing maybe just for an hour, maybe 2 hours or so. You don't want people to get burnt out of the same topic, but what it can do is really add some predictability when we're under the wire. It can add some speed because we're not context switching. So that's one way to triage. And another one would be a little bit lighter, just deleting spam, quickly responding to those conversational messages, getting some of those quicker messages out of the way so that there's only those meaty messages left. Again, you might not want to work like this all the time, but it is a cool technique to pull out of your toolbox when the team is feeling a little bit overwhelmed. It can add that speed. It can add a different sense of energy as well.
I have one last question for you. How do you measure success? What are the key metrics that you look at?
Yeah, we love data at Buffer, and our leads send through weekly reports. That just ensures that leadership and all of our team members are aware of the up and down trends. And there are a few stats that we do track consistently. I'm just going to list a few of them. We do track quite a bit. So I'll list kind of the top ones for me. The first would be, coming back to that team aspect, check-ins with the team. This is going to give you a great sense of how things are going for your customers. So how are they feeling? What trends have they noticed? This investment in your team is going to then help you see from the customer perspective as well. And then a couple inbox related ones. One would be the number of tickets that came in. We also look at the time it took to respond to the customer's first message and then second message. And then the last one would be the customer satisfaction score. Social engagement tools often do provide access to satisfaction ratings, which is really helpful. If you don't have access to one of those, there are a few third parties that should be able to help. You know, I just recently saw that SurveyMonkey does have a pretty cool Facebook Messenger survey tool. I hadn't seen that before. Have you seen that, Dave?
I haven't seen it, no.
Okay, it actually looks native. I was really impressed by it. So I definitely want to take a peek at that. And then, of course, Twitter also has third-party tools that allow you to source that customer feedback from your DMs as well.
That's fantastic. There's a lot of good stuff in there, Darcy. Thank you so much for spending some time going through this with me today. I think there's a lot in there that we can pass on to our listeners and they'll get some value from. And if anyone has any further questions or want to follow up, they can absolutely tweet us at Buffer. Get in touch.
I appreciate you letting me join you today, Dave. This is a really empowering topic, and obviously it's really relevant for today as well.
I really enjoyed learning more about how we support our customers on social media, Dave. So looking back at my notes, there are three main takeaways I picked up from your conversation. First, I especially loved the plan, empathy, and transparency, or PET, approach.
Yes, I'm so glad that Darcy shared this because it's so important, and especially at times when engagement is high and you're receiving more messages than usual. There are some shortcuts you can take, but at the end of the day, you really must address the impact that the issues had with your customer and share what you know about the situation and what's going to happen next and follow through on that, because you're in a situation when your relationship with your customer could be precarious. And if you handle this right, then you're going to build on trust and hopefully respect from your customer. So things do go wrong. It's a fact of life. But if you handle it right, then it's a chance to actually build a solid relationship.
Yeah, I think that's such a great point. And then I think the trust and respect aspect of the customer is so important and such an important part of that relationship. The second point I found really interesting was how we might be able to adjust schedules when engagement or conversations on social spike. So moving a few meetings or deprioritizing other work as needed.
Yes. So I wanted to say that we have an expectation of flexibility built into our team. I think at this point, it's almost a cultural thing where somebody might say, hey, we have a team sync coming up, but perhaps we can skip this one while we tackle this spike. That's something that happens for us. And then we can catch up async or through a shared paper doc or a Slack thread a bit later on. Sometimes we even do the opposite. So if something super unusual has happened and we need to make a bigger strategy shift, then it's worth pausing, hopping into a call just to get everything coordinated. Basically, whatever is going to help us serve our customers best.
Yeah, I love that. There were so many little insights that Darcy shared with us. But the third takeaway I want to mention is how it can help to triage messages before responding. That's a great idea.
Yes, and it's so helpful. So simply spending a few minutes to scan through, close spam messages, or quickly respond to non-support messages like some comments about blog posts or replies to our social posts can save so much time. And if you triage the inbox and reduce it, say, by 10-20%, it's just going to look a whole lot more manageable.
I mean, 10-20% is a huge reduction, so that would be incredible. So whether you've seen a big jump in engagement over recent weeks or just want to improve your social response times, I hope the tips that Darcy shared today will be helpful.
Thanks so much for listening. If we sparked any questions for you, we'd love to hear them. Tweet us at Buffer or email hello@buffer.com, and we'll catch you all next week.